Jordan. Welcome everybody to the show because I'm anxious to talk.
Okay.
Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is, of course, the lovely and the enchanting and the true spiritual warrior, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello. Thank you for the Undone and the Wild Child song.
Exactly.
That was so good. Hello, everybody. It's fun to be here. It really is fun to be here in the dark, in front of a fire, in a sleeping bag, with candlelight and a little kitty named Blackie. Because I'm still in New Jersey with no power. Well, I have power,
and we're going to talk about that tonight. But this is for you, Janine. Janine is here, everybody. This is for Jay Bird. Standing ovation. I love you, Jay Bird. I love you.
Thank you.
You rock my world. You are my hero.
Thank you.
You're welcome. First of all, the song we played tonight was Come Undone by Duran Duran.
I love that.
And it's such a poignant song because we're going to talk about tonight truly, truly that this resistance to coming undone is that's what's making us it's what's making if you're resisting coming undone, you're resisting the gifts. The gifts. We just got to start with what is, because first of all, you know, you're going to hear it in Janine. I haven't spoken to Janine, you know, quite as often as I do when life is just flowing from a more functioning standpoint. But I can tell you that every time I speak with her, I mean, truly, Janine, she's unbelievable because there's just no, she hasn't lost the skip in her step. I mean, and the reason why I'm sharing this is because, listen, where we're living right now, the times and the day and the place and the frequency that we are living in right now, you know, these promises that people make that, you know, upgrade your DNA and, you know, here, I'm gonna wave my hands over you and you're not going to be afraid anymore. And you know, the truth is, we look at those experiences, and I know I've done them. Listen, I've worked with Almeen. She is the queen of get your mental engagement on and build me a perfect being. Well, the bottom line is, it is when we come undone and when we sit with being undone, and I'm not saying Janine already does this, because every time I talk to Janine, you know, I'm sharing with her, I'm hanging out in whirlpools, you know, 95 degree warm water, and my girl's right there at the end going, I can feel it, and that feels fantastic. I mean, I can't believe I'm living high on the hog. Janine is in camping mode, and not necessarily by choice, but it doesn't matter. And she's living high on the hog. I mean, and you'll hear it in her voice. And I just want people to know that, you know, you can really, if you truly want to, you can feel the difference between somebody who is talking a talk and someone who is walking this talk. Mm-hmm. You know, earlier in the week I had a video from, I guess it was even before we did Wednesday's show, but, you know, this Panache Desai, who, you know, if you listen to his words, he is speaking all about the Enlightenment. But when you watch his eyes in the video at 12 minutes and 43 seconds in, well, by golly, they turn reptilian. Mm-hmm. So, you know, lots of people can talk the talk. Lots of, let me even put it this way, lots of beings. Because one of the things I'm getting, and I believe this is a definite correlation from Sandy, is it is imperative to know the truth from a lie. That is, it's a critical tool. And the thing about it is, when you're genuinely willing to know, I thought it was going to be so difficult to decipher truth from a lie. You know, I'm aligned with it, though, and it's not difficult at all. It's becoming incredibly clear. And the thing about the lie is, I don't need to fight the lie. I don't need to. I'm at the place where I'm not triggered by the lie. I'm simply encouraged because I can see the truth. So because I got my eye on the game now. My eye on the target is simply the organic timeline. That's my truth. And I know we talked about that last week. Now, I get it that this is not everybody's truth. So I will not say this is the truth for everybody. You know, some people, you know, really, and we'll talk more about coming into the experience as opposed to going out of the experience. But, Jeannie, I don't, you know, if you want to share anything, just
yeah,
jump
well,
in.
No, thanks, first of all, for, you know, the beautiful words about me. That's
definitely.
Really, you know, I hear them and it's like the email you sent me for about your little friend, you know, both so beautiful and I don't know, they just confirm in such a beautiful way how, you know, I'm here and I'm living it and, you know, I'm trusting because it just feels so right for me. You know, I know that I'm, quote, a natural with living this way, you know, even if it is because the storm came. I think like your little friend said, you know, she really did enjoy the power off. And there's something
right.
about the disconnect from the, you know, the typical. And I enjoy television. I enjoy movies. I enjoy certain things and Netflix and documentaries and, you know, some fun stuff. But there's something about disconnecting from, you know, the light fixtures and the wiring outside and the TV.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, here I am and it's candlelight and fire and a sleeping bag. And, you know, the beauty is, and I, you know, I have to say, I get to plug a cell phone into my car, charge it up, and I get to do a radio show with you. And there's something about the perfection of that where the modern meets the olden day. And it's very similar to what I captured in my story, the book I wrote, where there really truly was a connection between the modern and the olden day. And so I am grateful that I can sit here in this atmosphere and, you know, and talk and do a radio show with you and realize as you're talking, when you played that song, before they even started singing, I could feel that. I was like, wow, what a great choice. The sound of the music just really, like, settled me. And then I heard, you know, Stay the Wild Child and Become Undone, and I smiled and laughed because we were just talking about that. And what I realized is what you said about recognizing truth isn't as hard as you thought it would be, because what I see, and I've, you know, in the last couple of days, I mean, I've felt this over the last year and I've heard myself saying this to people, but when we've been conditioned or we thought or we were taught or, you know, all of the above, that our feelings are something to be afraid of, which is basically then that we are turning on ourselves, so to speak, which to
exactly.
me is so unnatural.
Being our own worst enemy.
Worst enemy, which I do not agree with, that, you know, anyone who's saying that should not be saying that anymore. Because really through, you know, recognizing that your feelings are really yours to help you through something, to give you the path through, you know, this is like, if your body hurts, it's because it's drawing attention to somewhere. If you have feelings, it's because you need to feel them, not to be afraid
exactly.
of them. And what
exactly.
really what's on the other side of that is this beautiful undoing. And to become undone is not a bad thing. It's really a growth thing. It's really an expansion thing, and by
an organic thing too, organic,
right, completely. And so,
yep.
what's so beautiful about that is when you you befriend your feelings, you take them in. You're no longer saying they're your enemy. You're becoming friends with them. They're letting you know what you need to know. Then you become undone. Well, that literally is you're no longer willing to settle for a lie to yourself. And so now you're coming into your own truth. So, of course, when you do that, you're able to you're able to see truth in front of you like you did, and it's no longer a struggle. And, you know, but the one encouragement I want to say is, in the beginning, you know, you have to hang in there. This isn't like, you know, you say, ooh, I hear what she's saying, but, you know, yeah, so I call that the tension or the creative tension or the torque, but it really is an incredibly organic, natural process that the world has been upside down in letting us know that it isn't, and it is. And so all you need is to go, oh, yeah, that's amazing, because everything gets flipped up right side up again. And so
exactly.
I love the timing. You know, it's so funny when I hear the word Sandy, because somehow Sandy doesn't sound destructive to me. Like that.
Well, and I was thinking Sandy, too, with the a grain of sand turning the into a pearl. I don't know what the pearl starts off initially as.
Well, it's you're right. It is actually sand, and over time it's, you know, I think it's movement and compression.
Friction,
and movement.
Right.
Friction, right.
Right,
and you end up with this pearl. And,
right.
You know, so there's so much. And it's funny, too, that the Sandy, they call Superstorm, you know, has been, to me, in many ways, a natural stimulus and a natural awakener and a natural, you know, I mean, it really has. I do want to say
that. I mean,
that
you
I
are
know.
Such the sage right now. I mean, I'm telling you, your presence is profound. Not that I've always felt it profound, but
yeah.
I'm telling you, I was talking to Dennis last week after the show going, you know, I want to say it to the listeners because it's also for you guys to hear. Can you feel the stillness within Janine's environment, within herself? I mean, I can. It's, you know, because as you speak from that space, you know, because it's this interesting, it's a non-glossy, it's not, you know, like, you know when you look at a picture, it's not glossy, there's a flatness to it, but when I say flat, I'm not talking about two-dimensional, I'm talking about it's like when you go to when I go to the forest doesn't need glitter on the outside, because you know, this is what the forest comes undone. I went to a different part of the forest today because I have two sides of the street that I go on. So last time I was in the forest, I went to the left. Today I was like, well, let's see what Sandy did. I'll go to the right. And, you know, it's so interesting to look at the way the whole environment of the forest works, because people do come in and what I call clean up, which is they cut the trees up into pieces that lie across the path, and so they clear the path. But beyond that, there is no man interference. You know,
right.
It's just, and when I go off path, there's no man interference because I'm off path, and it's so amazing. It's so hard to explain, but there's a beauty because I'm like, look, see, she's changing. And here's something I've noticed. Trees that I'm connected with, whether it was the tree remember I told you I brought those 9-year-old girl the day of my, I don't know if I told you this on the air or not, but I brought a 9-year-old girl the day of my mom's unveiling of her stone. Jewish people unveil the stone a year after people die. And I was like, I didn't even want to go. I was like, you know, her body's there, but that's not where I communicate with my mother, not at her grave.
Mm.
And a person had come who brought his kids that was close with my mom, and this girl was 9 years old, and she could read palms. And I was like, I need to take her to this tree because I drive by this tree, and this tree is saying something to me, and I don't know what it's saying, and maybe she'll know what it's saying. And she ended up saying that it was RBP, which is my mother's initials.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting because when I drove on the Merritt Parkway for the first time, that's where this tree is, my tuning fork tree was still up, and all these trees around it were knocked down. I mean, it wasn't the lone, you know, the lone standing tree, but I looked and went, I mean, another, all these big trees, which could have easily landed on her and taken her down, nope. And then I went to the place today where, you know, I sit and set up camp, and, you know, I've done ceremonies, blood ceremonies and stuff there, not the drinking of blood, just, you know, my DNA with the earth. And
yeah.
And that tree was perfectly fine, and there were trees all the way, you know, and I'm like, there's a connection between me and these certain trees, and, you know, there perseverance and trust, and, you know, it's hard to explain because it's such a it's a feeling, it's not a thought.
Right.
And that's what you're exuding right now. It's like I'm just feeling you. You know, it's just, it's very organic, and it's not bells and whistle. This is, you know, because I was listening to George in the Woods today, and boy, the manipulation of love that is happening on our planet and is going to, in my humble opinion, going to get turned up. You know, it's going to get more intense in the manipulation part of it before it gets, you know, neutralized, is huge right now. Because people are looking, you know, they're like manic depressives. You know, they're going from super depressed to blissed out states where there's energy firing through their bodies that's making them tingle, and, you know, and they're, you know, in all honesty, they're stoned on energy. They're stoned. I know. I've been getting stoned for a very long time. But I see where the love of Mother Nature is not bells and whistles. It is not something that makes you jump up and down. Not like that. It's something that fills you up with a presence that there's no yearning. There's no desire outside of what is right around you. It is the flavor is distinctly different. And, I watch it, I see it on Facebook, you know, where, you know, it's all about that, the buzz.
Yeah.
The buzz. And it's like, I mean, listen, you know, not everybody has been getting stoned for the last 30 years. So if that's what they need, you know, so be it. But I'll tell you, this bliss and this buzz is not the organic. It is definitely, it's contrived. And,
yeah,
you know,
it could even be a phase, you know, like, you know, it lasts for a while. And then I think inevitably you come back to facing your feelings that perhaps, you know, have avoided, detoured, tricked yourself into the bliss can override all that. And it can't. It inevitably...
Well, it can for a little bit, but you're right. It's
right,
like when you buy a new pair of shoes. I mean, that can make you feel good for only so long. The truth is, whatever you didn't feel good about is still there. You're not feeling good about it. Right on.
Yeah. So inevitably, you'll be back to, you know, to facing the feelings, which it sounds funny because the way I'm saying it, it almost sounds like, you know, beware, you have to face your feelings. But that's not what I mean, because that really is, to me, like the key to what a lot of people have been avoiding. And, you know, and I know that I get the sense a lot that when you say, you know, that you're going to the dark, but that's kind of my interpretation, is the dark would be what you've been avoiding. The dark would be, you know.
That's exactly right.
Right. So, you know, but it's really a good story. It's not like, you know.
Well, it's our story. That's why it's a good story, because, you know, the truth is, thank you, because you kind of triggered me. I'm a little flaky today. I mean, I've been doing water and the woods, and it's really, and normally I sleep for 12 hours after I do it. Anyways, Because I'm like, well, we had so much to share that day we talked on the phone. I'm like, where's all that information? And it's actually
I love
next
how
to
you
me.
Stopped the music and said, I have to talk. That was so great.
Yes, I am. I find that it's very interesting to me because I do stutter in my energy, where stutter meaning I can be very peaceful and then I can jump into, you know, kind of the, you know, the bipolar, the manic depressive, where I'm all over the place. And, you know, so be it. It's, you know, it's about balance. It's nothing is wrong, but it is about balance. But I do want to talk to people, and I want to share this, and then I want you to share, is
sure.
about the whole, because it's exactly what you're sharing. You know, the journey of our lives is we come into this experience. This was an insight that I got while in the water, and God, this water is just baptizing me. And I swear to God, I used that word and went, I can't believe I just used that word. But it really does, it is clearing me.
Right.
For me, it's visually, emotionally, mentally. And what I got was, when we come into this experience, and, you know, George talks about how we start projecting ourselves down from the 12th dimension to the 11th to the 10th, and we're gathering experiences. When we come in, we are creators, and we know it. We're coming in conscious.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming in, and, you know, the best way to put it is just a straightforward way. We're really pretty cocky. And what we do is we start creating our little hearts out. I mean, we are creating in the physical, where our creations, like, they tend to stick around longer, especially the more dense we become, with less, you know, it's not so instantaneous and fluid. It's like when you create something, it actually sticks around. And all of this is wonderful. But here's the thing about our creations. And our naivety, when we're creating, when we come into this particular, you know, universe, our creations do affect other things, do affect other kingdoms, and, you know, it's part of the harmony and the diversity, as well as, and according to George, this is the fractal. We're here to basically bump up against each other. Because, and then I got was, when we're done coming down, which is, you know, if we talk about it later, the first and second dimensions, the first and second dimensions are really dark spaces. But we have to be willing to go down there because it's part of the journey of this universe. You know, you can stop before you get down there, but then you're not going to be a master, and therefore you can't kind of graduate to become a creator in your own universe. So inevitably, you're going to have to go down there, which is facing fear itself, because it's
yeah.
so dark down there.
Yeah.
But when we come up, here's the amazing part, that what we start doing is we start having the broader perspective of, so we came in and we were creators. As we're coming up from our creations, which is the ascension, which is where we're gathering our pieces, now we're at the other end of our creation. Now we're at the part where what was affected when
right.
we came in and started. So first we're cause, and we're the experience of cause. Coming up through ascension, we're effect. And we are experiencing that which we created from a different point of view. The point of view where, you know, we might have been stepping on toes, you know, chopping down forests. We were doing all this stuff because we were naive. And I'm not saying it's just naive. I'm not saying the reptilians are naive beings. But I'm talking about the people that we have gone to the bottom. We are coming up. It is a very challenging time right now. But the truth of it is what we're getting is another piece of us from a different perspective. But this is the perspective that as we graduate from this universe, the humility comes in because we're willing to now accept the part of, oh, you know, when I was creating and I didn't realize how I was treating the animals. Because I'll tell you, the one thing I'm getting so clearly as I was following the UFO abductees is the one simple fact of, human beings are being treated exactly the way we're treating our farm animals, the animals we eat, exactly the same way. And so there's a reason for that. The connection is, for me, like, it's right there. So at one point you're going to be the person doing the slaughtering at the slaughterhouse, and guess what? At another point in your experience, you're going to be that which is being slaughtered, because you couldn't know the experience. And this is all of us. This isn't about shame or blame or guilt. Truly, those are, in my humble opinion, the most useless. You know, that's part of the manipulation. It is about becoming whole, becoming strong, becoming heartfelt, truly, truly heartfelt, because you're taking in that which you dished out when you first got here, which could have been, 150,000 lifetimes ago. I don't know. I just know the ascension process is I'm picking up pieces of myself, and I have no shame for any of this. None. Why would? Because as I'm integrating these parts of me, I'm getting sea legs on. I'm so trustworthy of this whole situation that it's just blowing my mind. Where most people are in high levels of doubt right now, I'm not. It's like, and I attribute that to the willingness to take in what I dished out. That's what it is.
Well, see, I think that acceptance, awareness, knowing, mm-hmm. Part of the we are the cause, and then coming back up, we're the effect, which I love. Wow, that's a stretch. I really like that. But I think that you literally, as you come up, like that ball that's being held down, and then the buoyancy, starts
to
the organically shame and guilt don't exist, because there's an acceptance of the process without pointing fingers, because it truly
exactly.
is what we're all doing. And
exactly.
so we've all agreed. So, I think that, and I did say this to you, even when I said it, there's a neutrality, because when guilt and shame about when we were coming down, we're creators, we're the cause, and we're causing quite a bit in order to do this process, that on the way back up, when you there's just a natural tendency, and I think it is presence that exists, because in that letting, you can't even, it's not about, giving yourself directions or instructions and go, I will not have guilt, I will not have shame. It just doesn't
exist. No, it's a clarity
anymore.
You have to see. You have to know it.
It's just gone, and because there is this, I said neutrality, and then I thought of, the zero point, but it's almost like the I was saying this to you before, where the two polarities meet, and they create this neutralized place where they kind of almost check each other out,
they collide, and then we reshape. That's alchemy.
There's a word, though, that when they meet and you're coming back up, that you have this there becomes this neutral, and so that's when you what I hear you saying and even describing, what you're hearing about me is there's this accepting that I loved that thing that I sent you yesterday when you said the part you picked out, which I loved, which I'm going to, ad lib.
Oh, I'll look for it. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Treat all as sacred. Like, so like every moment becomes sacred. and every moment is like celebratory, or whatever it was, it really described an acceptance and a, you know, presence for me. And so, yeah, so that's when you describe the coming up part and the letting go of, and, you know, and you can only do that when you're diligently, courageously, just going into the your feelings, the undoneness, and this is
exactly
the other part. And this is the other part that I, last week when we were talking, where I really started to understand the difference between the timeline of the void, the great void, which is, it just doesn't have any marketability. It's just what is. It's just, it's not, you know, there's no Disneyland.
Right. No glitz. No glitter.
There's no promise of some kind of orchestrated structure. The void to me is this place that you and I are describing, where,
yeah,
and it's a natural timeline. And, you know, that's what I was getting last Wednesday when we were talking. And when I hung up, I went, that's the difference. There's the void timeline, which is, to me, loaded with beauty. And, you know,
right,
and then there's the artificial, more glamorous, glitzy, attractive timeline, where there's lots of these false promises and falseness. And
totally. All right, wait. I got to interrupt because I just got to share with the people. When you look at fame and fortune, you know, from Hollywood style. Okay, what Janine just said about how, you know, the void is really an organic. It's an organic. When you go to the woods, you know, if you're connected, you don't see dirt and leaves and trees. You know, you really do see just tremendous energy and life force and organic. Now, when you go into Hollywood, I mean, do you really have to go very far to see how, I mean, let's be blunt, how sick and psychotic that lifestyle is? Let's see things clearly, everyone. Because there's such a, you know, there's a field around our mentality that we should be striving and thriving for the success that Michael Jackson had. I mean, like, who happened, in my humble opinion, I think he was a master and was just, you know, truly brutalized for his sensitivity. And he never really connected strong enough with his feelings, which is why he never knew how to fight back. And when I say fight back, I'm not talking about punches. I'm talking about being in an integrated state with self, that when the shit is basically thrown at you, you know, you'd like a dog, you just wag it off, and it's like, no, it's not sticking. That, yes, you know, you got issues with who I am. I don't have issues with who I am. You have issues with who I am. And that's what makes it your issue. You know, but it's like this clarity in me is so seeing, you know, I'm not trying to bring up the negative. I'm just trying to say that there is a clarity that hits as we start integrating the pieces of ourselves. And this is the wisdom that, quote unquote, our pain and our heartbreak. Remember when, Janine, when you were talking about heartbreak a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
This is the clarity that comes from those experiences. So, you know, as crazy as this sounds, why would you want to avoid those experiences?
Really,
if you get the wisdom.
You drop into yourself when you don't avoid them, when you allow, you know, like if you feel heartbroken, that's actually a telltale that, you know, you're doing, there's something deep going on, and it's
mm-hmm.
a good, it's good deep, and it's, you'll drop into yourself more, and you'll, you know, there, you just won't, you won't be, you know, pulled off center, you know, maybe even a little less when, because you've allowed that to happen. And
exactly.
See, I feel that's why it is happening. And
well,
rather,
exactly.
Rather
right.
than, oh, what's wrong with me? And it's like, no, nothing. Nothing's
right.
Wrong. This is the process. This is where you want to go. You know, and so that's why it's all backwards to me, or upside down, or however you want to say it, you know. So, yeah, so it's, and, you know, every time, you know, after every radio show, or even just in this moment, it's like, wow, you know, I really even get it more that, you know, because we are discussing it, you know, out there with an audience and processing live. And I do think that there's something even more accelerated about that, or even has more, you know, electricity, so to speak, you know.
No, yeah, right on. It is electric. It is.
Yeah. So, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it is. It's amazing that you, and this has been going on. I mean, if you follow what we've been talking about, every week it seems to be progressing, and we integrate more, and we integrate more, and we integrate
Absolutely.
More. And we're in the moment, and we're processing. I mean, you couldn't be more in the moment to just, you know, we're dealing with what nature just did, and, you know, blew things around and got everything wet and knocked stuff over, and, you know.
Well, let's talk about the use of power. You share with it, though, you know, how we were, what we were sharing about that.
Well, remind
the
me
use
what,
of the word power.
You mean when you said, well, I'm not going to keep saying Janine's without power, because that's not true.
Exactly.
Because she just, her house doesn't have electric hookup, but by no means is Janine without power.
I literally couldn't say that to you. I couldn't. I couldn't say it.
And you know, I think that that's such a great example of so much more, because it's very similar to when I'm very sensitive now to people going, "I'm my worst enemy." No, don't say that. You're not. You are your best friend. You are your, you know, you're the one who's the guide through your process. You know,
wait, let me just say one thing, Jay.
Yeah.
If you know yourself to say, "I'm my worst enemy," you can't stop saying that. You got to look and now find where you're doing enemy things to self.
Right,
because it's not just about not saying it; it's about recognizing it.
There's power in statements and words. So it's a good awareness to know that the words are powerful. So that's why you don't want to say "I'm without power," because that's I'm not. So you didn't want to say that. So when I hear the awareness I'd love to bring to people is that they're telling, you know, if they're saying, "Oh, you know," and usually we say it kind of funny and flip, "Oh, my own worst enemy." Well, what I'd like people to do is become much more conscious of what they're saying about themselves, because, you know, it's one of the great turning points is when you're
absolutely.
Like, I remember there was someone, she would say, "Oh, the rug got pulled out from under me. Oh, I'm backed in a corner.
I'm
oh,
waiting for the other shoe to drop." I've
right.
heard that a lot.
And you go, and see, these are all little telltales to, they're almost like clues, you know, or the breadcrumbs that, like, Hansel and Gretel left so they could find their way back home. But, you know, it's like,
these
are the clues to, except
the kind of programs you're running. They're titles of programs.
Right. So these are tip-offs. To go,
yes.
Oh, and most
not
likely,
universal truths anyway, so.
They're falsehoods. You know, they're like,
well, they can be changed. It's a condition.
One,
it is not organic.
Yeah.
It is, you are not, you know, you're not dealt the hand. What's that saying? This is the hand I'm dealt, you know, and that's all I got in life.
That's another one of those statements.
That is incorrect.
Yeah.
If you want it to be different, you can have a different hand. Everybody
can
have a different hand.
And I think a great visual would be like, you know, the switches on the wall for the light switches up and down. I mean,
right.
It really is like flipping a switch when you catch the language you're telling yourself, because you are you are reprogramming yourself, but more in alignment with not the false, the lies, because that is
right.
a lie. It is.
It
I
is.
Mean, it is a lie.
It is.
You're
it
not
is.
Your own worst enemy. You're
not even close.
No.
I'll put it this way. If you don't, again, you are if you choose that. But if you're feeling that and don't choose that, this is where, you know, I know that there's a thing called radical forgiveness. And I can tell you that forgiveness initially plays a part.
Right.
But inevitably, kind of like what, you know, not kind of, exactly what Janine was saying earlier, that you inevitably get to a space of a neutrality. I mean, I feel guilty about nothing that comes my way. And you know why I don't feel guilty about it? Because I own it. Why
yes.
would I feel guilty about it? If I did do things, and of course I did. I mean, shit, I got people started on drugs. I have been a negative influence of people. I know that. And so bring it, whatever I got to do to pay penance, so to speak, in my world, I accept.
Yes.
That's why guilt comes from not wanting to accept the emotion from self, so you accept it from the culture to say, well, I didn't take that in, now I feel guilty. You won't feel
right.
guilty if you're genuinely, you know, working through your own pain. It's so amazing because so many people work so hard not to do to get in touch with their pain.
Right.
And then go,
that's
you know,
it. That's where
yeah.
it's at. And that's, by the way, that's where all the conflict and struggle is, you know, because we spend so much energy avoiding it that
yeah.
I think that's where a lot of the disease comes from and the, you know, the confusion and the, you know, decision
yeah.
making that's actually not good decision making, you know, but yeah, so you just said something that really kind of, I was like, ooh, but it just fell out of my head, but it'll come back.
Okay, no, that's cool.
Yeah. It was something you said, and I was like, oh, I like that. But it'll come back.
Well, it's consciousness. I mean, we're really talking about, you know, facing our pain. And when I was like, facing our pain is pieces of self. And that's what, see, it's so amazing because the genuine waking up, and it's interesting because waking up is not just about first in your for me it happened first. I woke up in my mind, and in all honesty, I was never really asleep in my mind. I'm not completely, and I know that now. I can clearly see how I was connected to my soul my whole journey, even though God knows I felt disconnected on so many times in my life, and I felt so alone, and I was not. And when I say I was not alone, it's I had myself there, but I didn't know. I literally did not know what that felt like. And I chased the high. I chased the high from cocaine. I chased the high from sexual pleasures. I really never chased the high of money, even though I've always had it. And I've even chased the high of intellect, you know, the whole left side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
When the self is not a high, the self is a steady presence that is so remarkably mature, reliable, responsible, magical. It's everything we could ever want to be. But the thing is, it's like I got Robert Young in my head going, it won't meet you in your drama. You got to meet the self in the house that self built.
Yeah.
Not the game. The self will watch you, and you can. I mean, I've just been through enough dark nights of the soul, and I'm sure there's more to come. That I know what it's like to feel that disconnect and feel that loneliness and that absolute. You know, you're basically on your knees. Going, you know, I'm undone. I surrender. My life is just completely fucked up. That's what it is.
And ditto for me.
Yeah, right on. Well, I mean, so it's not that I don't know those feelings, but
no,
I'll tell you,
course.
after you do them and you integrate those experiences, the more you integrate, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm at the point now where it's like, and I didn't think this day would ever come, but that I can actually get my lessons, or not my my integrations, because I've done enough integration to this point, no longer take me to that depth of that pain. I mean, it's
yeah,
a redefining of everything. So it's actually experienced differently.
Yeah, and that, and we were talking about that because, well, first I remembered what I was going to say, and then you just said the word,
that it was
a maturing process. But so you said that, which was so funny. I was like, that's what I was thinking. So, but, you know, yeah, but I just think that, you know, where you're describing, like the other day you said something about dog fences, and I really feel that the dog fence is such a great analogy of when, you know, the dog goes to cross the line and there's this jolt. Well, I feel like that's when someone's going to approach facing their feelings and what's holding them back. But if you realize that this is a place you have to pass through, you will go through what you described and I described, which is, you know, the dark nights of
a
the
jolt.
Soul. Yes, right.
Yes,
but on the other side of that is where you do drop into this place that doesn't engage in the drama more and more and more and more. And what I love about it is that, because you've said this several times to me lately, and, you know, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've heard other people who I work with say it, and certainly I've noticed it within myself over the years where I go, wow, I really see the change in me. And it's almost remarkable. Because it happens, and you recognize that you're different, and it's really visible. I mean, visible in a like you almost go, wow, I'm not
the same person.
I'm not responding like I used to respond or react or
absolutely.
You know, it just doesn't exist. And
absolutely,
this is all a result of that. You know, so.
Yeah.
You know, I love talking about it because it seems to be coming in for you and me more and more where it's the topic of discussion because it's so relative, but we're really feeling it. So
that's absolutely exactly right.
That's why it's being talked about, you know.
Yes, because we share everything on the air. I mean, and that seems to be, it's so available right now.
Right.
That's why I keep really kind of pushing hard. You know, if we track, tracking is so important because tracking is you follow streams of consciousness. That's right. Because as soon as, I mean, I was watching my little munchkins, Sahana. Sahana wants to be a rock star. I mean, there's no doubt about it. She's doing hoochie dancing and, I mean, and not grotesquely, but it's in her. You know, she's maturing very quickly, and it's through dance. And, you know, that was the first time that I just kind of tracked the whole thing, you know, and I came up to Britney Spears, and, you know, and you hear George say it or David Icke, or somebody said it recently, where, like, oh, I think it was actually Eckhart Tolle, you know, going, we're psychotic to think that that we want to be movie stars and rock stars. Like this is the goal of millions upon millions of people, you know, to have 15 minutes of fame and, you know, they're on these shows singing and dancing their heart out. And I'm not saying don't sing and dance. Absolutely. But to do it with the goal that you have to become famous is, I'll tell you what that is. That's Botox. That's what that is. You know, where you intentionally put poison in your skull, in your face, so you don't look emotional. I'm sorry, that just I can't even tell you what that does to me. That just does things to me.
I know. No, that's true. But that's a good example.
Exactly.
And it is twisted, but it's only. You just step back and, you know.
Well, but we got to see that twistedness. So I don't think people
see it. It starts to resemble every kind of, you know, addictive drive. But you know, what's behind, you know, and then you can go, well, what's behind that? And I, you know, that's a really good question.
Well, you
know
my answer on that one. I do.
What?
Reptilian beings.
Okay. Oh, right. Or.
I mean, that's, again, this is, you know, I won't say this is the truth for everybody, even though I believe it is, but I won't say that because I don't know that.
Right.
But it is absolutely my belief that reptilians feed on addictions. I've been listening to the Peggy Cain stuff. When we have wars and our kids are dying in very fearful moments, according to Peggy Cain, what they're speaking about on the astral plane is they're dining and feasting during these wars. Dining and feasting on human flesh and human fear. Because one of the things I've been getting lately, like I've been saying this to Alana and anybody I'm talking to, is it really is time to see. It's time to see because it's being revealed. So to continue to turn away from it because it's just too hard to look at is a vulnerability in and of itself. And here's the amazing part. I have never been one to see multidimensionally. I mean, I won't say not never. I've had my occasional blue light, you know, when a shaman worked with me, and I've had enough things happen, but I'm not on a regular basis. I don't see.
Well, you know, understanding these, you know, because that's.
These realities. Let's call them for what they are. They're realities.
Right. Or these beyond this small bubble of a dimension of awareness of, you know, what we think or, you know,
what we've been told. That's what
right,
I want to get.
To open up to these understandings is a seeing. You know, it is. That whole seeing thing and the whole, you know, I see this and I see that, and, you know, that's another trap. I mean, I think that when you really get to, you know, and fine, people see things. I personally don't either, except when, you know, say you read either one of my books and you go, well, come on, she has to see things because look at these worlds she created. But I would never interpret it as seeing. They just come out of me. But I believe that's just a similar to what you just said about addiction and the whole feeding off of the addiction and knowing what's beyond this, you know, level is another way of seeing. It's just, it's an understanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So like, then you, all these simplistic awarenesses of like, you know, I see that many colors around you and that many layers. I mean, that's all well and good, but it's so limited in just that being almost an answer, because I'm going for like the understanding aspect, you know, is also what I think is my, it's almost like you can feel yourself expanding beyond the boundaries of what you knew almost daily, you know, and
absolutely.
Right. So
absolutely. That's a good way to say it.
There's something there that, you know, you know, and obviously there's a lot of people before that have already, you know, are doing this. They're like, exactly.
Well, and the key is, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, people are afraid to see that which they don't know, especially if it's been painted in a picture, the reptilians are clearly not painted in a, you know, I wouldn't want to meet one on the street, even though I can tell you throughout my drug days, I'm sure I met plenty of reptilians. If they're hanging around addicts, God no, I've met them. But the key to what I'm sharing and what Janine is sharing is that if you turn away from that, you just gave your power to it, and that doesn't have to be, you know,
right.
Because I really feel, and again, I haven't,
What I hear, Goldie, is like,
okay,
if you turn yourself away from that, it's like, I'm not ready to know that yet. That's what
okay.
I, you know, it's like, I'm
okay.
not ready to know that yet. Which, of course, okay, but, you know, eventually it's inevitable. Hold on. It's inevitable that you know, I just heard the door move and it was the wind. But
are we spooking you out?
No.
Okay.
No.
Should we not be telling ghost stories on the stage? I know you're okay.
I'm fine.
I love it. See, Janine, you say it nicer than I do, and I appreciate that. And I just want to get the emphasis that. I'm down here. If I'm starting to become aware of these things, I look at that and go, I'm pretty dense with the sight part. You know, I have an awareness, but it seems to me the timing is, you know, it's kind of like, do you want the war to just show up, so to speak, on your front door one day? Or would you want to know that it's coming and, because what, and you're going, well, what's the war? The war is for your awareness. This is not a war fought with guns, and this is not a war fought with fists and swords. It's a war on awareness.
Yeah.
So if you hear people talking about them, well, be open to being aware of it, because that's what the war is about. And, I mean, personally, I've always said, you know, I'd rather be prepared. I can give a better, I can do my best in preparation than I can. And I can also work, see, and that's a funny thing, because preparation also makes you inevitably go to, you'll know what you need to know in the moment you need to know it. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know if that's a contradiction to being prepared, but, you know, preparing for war from a physical point of view is not necessarily what I'm not saying, you know, go out there and, you know, start exercising so you can, you know.
No, what? No. You know, to me, it's almost like what I hear is, which, you know, I think, you know, maybe this is my way of, you know, you're going to say, oh, well, that's a nice way of saying it. But is, to me, when you put out there these, you know, awarenesses, that it really is an invitation to look at these things, and
right.
because why
right.
not? You know, why not? I mean, then, you know,
yeah, why not?
Because,
it's so worth it. Oh my
right,
God, it's a game
it's
changer
so
when
it.
You know. It's a game changer.
And it's funny though, because as belief systems start to break down and drop away, there is a certain disorientation and there is a certain sort of reorientation. And, you know, and I understand that. And I think, you know, they can happen subtly and they can also happen a little not subtly, you know, and it's like, so you know, the awareness that to allow for that is also important as belief systems drop and awareness is like, you know, letting in these concepts of way beyond what you thought,
right.
they will, you know, they will, you know, maybe put you a little bit in like a 3-day, you know, kind of like, I can't really talk to anybody right now, you know, or I need, you know, I need some silence or I need some quiet or I got to get in my own space or, you know, cause I've, you know, we both had that and I've had that for, you know, in the beginning, it was more difficult, and now it's more refined. It's more,
well,
you know,
now it's demanded too. I
like,
have to be alone now. I used to be
right.
I was petrified
right.
to be alone, and now it's mandatory that I spend time by myself.
Right, exactly. But those those are wonderful awarenesses or tip-offs to become conscious of, because then you know you don't. You don't spend your time going, oh, what's wrong with me? Because it's like, no. Belief systems are dropping, you know, and
right.
understandings are, you know, and what I love is if you have the courage to ask the question.
Okay.
I believe that the space is then provided within you for the answer to come in and see.
Okay.
I think that's very exciting. And so, but it's also like, you know, a little like, it's exciting, but also a little like, woo, you know, and so there is a time period where you have to allow for that. I mean, and see, that's a very important piece about this culture where, you know, it's not promoted to allow for those times, for integration.
Because they treat us like infants. They do,
right,
because... No,
yeah.
Go ahead. Right on.
No,
you're
no,
on a roll.
So,
go.
So,
go.
So that poem or whatever that was, that hope.
Oh, I got
prayer,
it. I got it.
Right.
Here it is.
But that okay. thing about things are treat everything as sacred. See, to
all,
me, that...
Here, let me just read
yeah,
it.
All
that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration.
All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner. Yeah, see, that's to me a game changer because... it is very much against the culture too, because you are, quote, taking the time to integrate. You are, quote, taking the time to let go of old belief systems, you know, and be a little disoriented and get reoriented. And
absolutely.
You know, these are, I guess I hope that this radio show is helpful to helping people know that that's okay, that's good, and encourage it, you know, right?
Well, I think at the very least, well, of course, I mean, I wish for that, but I think ultimately,
yeah,
we're just letting the audience know, because here's the bottom line. Me and Janine don't go to jobs we don't like. We don't attend family functions if we don't choose to attend family functions. You know, we don't do anything in our world because of obligation. That
right.
that word is not a part of our experience. And I was thinking about this today going, you know, I was at the Y and I was, you know, in the whirlpool having myself another grand, I can't stay out of it, Jay. I can't. I say I'm going to take the days off, but I'm just having such a good time in it. So, but, and then I realized that I was hanging around with, you know, two other, you know, I don't know, elderly women, you know, somewhere in their, anywhere between 60 and 80, I don't know. And I was like, I'm hanging around with the retirement crowd. And that, why? Because I've left the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to work until I was 63 to enjoy this part of my life. I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying every single moment consciously. I'm enjoying the painful moments because I know what my pain brings me. I've defined it as the gifts of myself coming home. I enjoy the time in the woods. I enjoy doing the radio show. I mean, it's like literally a turn has taken where the challenges. That's another thing. Why are we so afraid to be challenged? There's
yeah.
such a... I, you know, there's this inner expression of me. I'm realizing to let go of my competitiveness. Competitiveness is not the same as being challenged, because competitive wants to win. And I am recognizing that even in my failures of a challenge, I garnish something from that experience, because there's plenty of things I didn't get that I wanted that I'm. You know, the experience was, I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. You know, and it's like the redefining of everything going on right now is so indicative to enjoying the evolution, and in my personal opinion, the rapid evolution that we're
yeah.
experiencing right now, because it is rapid, and people are putting on brakes and trying not to experience it. And I mean, okay, I can appreciate that, but at some point you got to turn around and consciously go, okay, I'm gonna face it, man. You know, your arms out wide, and you're gonna let your own little tsunami, you know, basically pummel you. Allow it to happen, because once you do, and it will change your life. It will change your life. That is the point of it. It wants to change your life, because underneath, it's almost like the crust of our belief systems from the conditioning, underneath is this incredibly magical experience that can be had right here and right now. It has nothing to do with the powers that be and the white hats and whether they're going down or they're not going down. I'm telling you, people will show up in your world to support you, and Earth will show up. And so it's however it will be. There just seems to be a knowing. If we would just come undone, we would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so great. I know, that's so true. Really true. It was great listening to that. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh. I mean, I'm passionate because it does seem like now there's so many. Well, it's not that we're procrastinators. I get it when you go, there's time. No, there's not. There's not. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but I feel compressed. And again, I'm not yearning to move forward. I'm in now doing the, and it's not even the work. It's just doing the integration of bringing myself back home to me. And if you listen to my words, I'm telling you, I don't joke around and say, even in jest, I'm my own worst enemy or I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. The thoughts in my head are all optimistic, very encouraging, and stable. I'm quite stable in that I completely trust what's going on now is beneficial for me, because that's how I'm experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like everybody to have that experience.
To me, it's funny because when you said, for me, it's the breaking through the dog fence, towards what we typically have been told or taught or conditioned to avoid, which is our feelings and the challenge. And I'm thinking, that's really the true calling. That is the calling. It's like
it's calling us.
It's us calling us. And
it's us calling ourselves. Exactly.
Yeah. And so
beautifully put. Yeah.
Right. So it's like
turning away from yourself.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. And so that's how I, it's just that's what came to me, that it's us
that
calling
ourselves. That was
awesome. Yeah, right. And so it's like, maybe it's all of a sudden we could get better hearing.
Well, you'll get better. You know what will happen? Your skin will learn to hear.
Right.
You will get better hearing but it's not necessarily the hearing that you think, it's the sensation of vibrations. It's the sensation it's a knowing. It's what's available. When we integrate these pieces, when we turn and face ourselves, all the things that we talk about, the gifts are, they're right there in them. All the stuff, it is time to jump.
It is time. It is accelerated. And even that poem, it says the river's rushing fast, did it say, or something? It opens up.
Oh, I'll
with
find it. Okay.
The river's rushing fast, and it's like go with it.
You want me to read it? You want me to read it?
Yeah, read it because it's fun.
There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly. No, the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above the water. So who is in there with you? See who is in there with you and celebrate. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you want me to read the rest of it.
Sure.
At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle. from your attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we have been waiting for. And that
I
is
that.
That's a quote from the elders of Rabi Arizona Hopi Nation.
We are the ones we've been waiting for. I love
that.
That's
always been a profound line.
Right, and I love that kind of fits with what I'm saying is the voice that's calling is our own voice. It's we're calling
Absolutely.
Ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. And so
it's the same truth
imagine,
being expressed.
I do imagine sort of our self. On the other side of the dog fence going, come on, meet the challenge.
Right,
have courage.
Well, because remember, according to George, we're still up in the 12th dimension, the 11th dimension, the 10th dimension, 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th. So how do we get to the next dimension? By meeting ourselves, the part that's still there. I mean, that's why when you look at it, it's like, wow, this all fits. This is what's happening. It fits.
I love when you said we're the cause, and then after that we are the result of the effects, and that's
exactly.
I mean, that is just so great. I was like, wow, I love that.
That came to me in the whirlpool at the Y, which by the way I think is a portal. Goldie does enjoy playing. I mean, because come on, why wouldn't you play? We can all play. I think we could all use
of
a little
course.
More play in our lives.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Playing is good.
I
know I'm very.
And who doesn't like a portal?
And who does. In a whirlpool, no less. I mean, because it was interesting. Today was the first time two other women were in the whirlpool at the same time as me. And, I literally was like, Do I travel with them in here? I don't know. And then I was like, well, hey, ladies.
Well,
I don't know what's going to happen to you, but I'm
just
going.
Like that poem. Look who's in the river with you.
It was kind of interesting because I really got that at some level. I was, their energy was coming into me and my energy was playing with them. And, I shut my eyes and went to where I go and, came out and, there I saw two ladies sitting in the whirlpool with me. I was like, oh, yes, public watering holes. Aren't these lovely? No, it was cool. They were nice enough, and I got out early. I didn't spend an hour. I'll tell you another thing I've noticed is when I go in blocks of time, time is very distorted. When I'm in that whirlpool. It's also starting to become very distorted when I'm in the sauna.
Then that's just a fun noticing, I think. A fun noticing to notice that fluctuations in, time sometimes feels speeded up, sometimes it feels slow.
It's another
one of those things I like to, you can notice. And, I'm not sure quite sure what it means, but...
I think it's part of the multidimensionality that, because I've been reading a lot with... Spirit Library, everybody's talking about, time's boundaries are loosening. It's part of whatever is happening from an organic point of view. Time, because I clearly get time from the point of view of my memory is not functioning as well, but I also get that there'll be times I'll be talking and I'll know something and I'll go, wow, it feels to me, when I need to know something, I know it. So if I can't remember something, then from my soul's perspective, I didn't really need to know it. Surrender to knowing it. Yeah.
Einstein said the same thing. He said he didn't believe in remembering anything he didn't really need to remember.
Well, I'm feeling, because there is a wisdom. This is that global, or not global, I think it's the unified field is what I think it is.
Yeah,
where everything exists, and then you just pull it out, whatever, and it seems
right.
to
when
be...
Right, when you need to know, you'll know.
You'll know, and it will be relevant, because another thing that I was getting is everybody's got a gift. We all come in with a unique gift, which I believe on some level, when we connect with this gift, this is kind of like what your essence in your universe is also like. It's what makes your universe and your planets and your solar systems different is your gifts, because we're fractals. Everything that's happening here is happening, you know, on all these other different layers. So I've been kind of trying to connect with, you know, my essence and my gift. And so far all I came up with is that it's communication.
Right, right.
You know, but there's something about communication with me that is, I can sense it. Because also I really invite everybody to, don't be afraid to know for yourself. You know,
right, exactly.
We're so accustomed to asking other people, so what's my horoscope, or what do you see for me? No, you can see for you, and, you know, don't be afraid to see for you.
Or to know something and be okay with the fact that you know something, and you don't have to diminish it or, you know, or play it down, to be able to stand behind knowing something. Once again, you know, that's another crossing over from me across that dog fence where you can you come into yourself and it's, you no longer have to, you know, take the back seat or I don't know, you know.
Right. That's a big one. I hear people say that all the time. And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying I don't say it too. Of course I say, but I'm working on not saying I don't know, because here's what, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I'll find out.
Right.
I'm keen on it.
But I've noticed in myself that the coming into the awareness of that our feelings, we've been taught to avoid our feelings, and our feelings are actually the key through and in to, you know, it is what we're meant to do, is go towards those feelings rather than avoid them. The word struggle to me isn't about the feelings, it's about the avoidance of the feeling. So
that's where the struggle comes in.
Right.
Right.
And so that is a knowing that I've, you know, it's come to me, and, you know, very much so in the last year. And I've never, it's not like I read it in a book, it's not like I heard someone else say it who was, you know, it's just my own knowing, and I feel comfortable to say I know, you know.
That's a universal knowing, you know, meaning, because what I would recommend for people, work on the beliefs that are like the universal beliefs. Like for me, I was always very, and you can listen to it on the shows, I was hyper vigilant about, I had this fear that I was going to get conned you know, I was going to get on this, you know, the wrong spaceship, and I was going to miss the organic experience. I mean, I could feel that in me. So what I took out of that was, okay, now I got to learn how to tell the truth.
Right.
I mean, that, because what else do I have? I don't want it to be coming from somebody else. Because if they're giving me the truth, well, if I call them up, you know, the day the spaceship shows up and you're not around, what the hell would I do? You know, so the first thing you want to do is connect in yourself to these, whatever the whatever your fear is, the answer to that fear is within you. That's first and foremost, because it is. and you want to direct everything so that you're the benefactor of the wisdom you get from the fear, because the fear becomes a journey, and the journey will start off where, shit, I was conned out of $20,000. I mean, I've been conned. I've been lied to. We've all been lied to. But what I've learned from that is, okay, so now I know what it's like to be conned. Okay, so now can you look for that? And here's a big thing. Where am I conning myself? You know,
which is the beginning place, you know,
is the alpha and the omega, because once you start looking, because it's all about the self. And I'm telling you, Janine was the one who helped me see, in just when she would tell me that I'm not doing anything wrong, when I felt bad, I started flipping belief systems. Like, I mean, I was like on The Price is Right, man. I was flipping all. It was because it was the one piece I was missing. Because that's why I like sharing it on the show. Because if I want people to know, feeling bad is not, you're not doing it wrong.
No.
In fact, you're doing it. And Janine is really the queen and the master of this. And what do you call, wait, what do you call the type of therapy you do?
Oh, well, actually, I mean, I have a master's in transpersonal psychology therapy, but really I just do what feels right to me. But
yeah, right,
transpersonal,
right,
transpersonal means that you're, you know, it's beyond, it's kind of interesting. You're kind of leaving the small self, you're doing everything we talk about on the radio show. You're
right.
facing yourself and kind of dropping into your true self. And that's done, it's certainly not at all traditional therapy, but I just do what feels right. And
right.
I mostly hear people saying things, and then I recognize that their self-talk is very, backwards and
diminishing,
opposite.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I do see the brilliance in people, and I see what is working for in people, I get very happy and delighted for them, and so
you do,
and that really is genuine, and it just feeds. All of a sudden, you know, in therapy becomes fun and exciting. Because
yeah.
it should be, you know, it's not
right. That's what finding yourself should be. It's fun and exciting. Exactly. That's so right on.
Yeah, and so I get excited, and you know, because as you move further along and unlock all these old stupid belief systems that, you know, something's wrong with you, and you know, don't go there. Oh, better medicate yourself. You don't want to go up against that one. And I'm going,
right.
No, let's go up against that one. That's a good one, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it becomes
definitely.
Like a treasure hunt, you know? And
exactly.
Yeah, and so, you know, people are like, boy, you seem really happy in therapy. And I'm like, because I am, you know? You're getting somewhere. And they're like, I know, I feel it.
Right on. No, definitely. See, you got cheerleader in you, too. And I'll tell you, you're the first person I've ever met who could cheerlead me. Cause I say that not, I don't know what it was, but people really, they tended to shy away from, you know, when I was around people, unconsciously, I believe it's my competition, too. I don't believe I know. My competition would make other people feel small.
Right.
And that's why I don't, you know, want to that's a feeding. You know, Carolyn Mace has shown me if we're going around making other people feel bad to feel good, that's energetically what our wires and our cords are set up to do.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, part of my emancipation, so to speak, from being competitive is I'm learning to take my cords that are feeding from the outside world and I'm turning them within.
Mm.
And that, you know, immediately when something, I don't feel good, I mean, my first thought now is I got to get outside. I mean, that's the
right.
first thing. I got to get into Earth. Earth will make me feel better. I mean, that is an absolute, I don't think that anymore. It's now what I call, it's in the program. It runs as my intuition, you know, it's my first knee-jerk reaction is, you know, if me and Scott get into a fight or me and my dad are yelling at each other, and which is happening less and less and less and less and less and less, but when
right.
it does, you know, you know, my first intuition is, okay, I don't know what's going on right here. You know, clearly we're out of balance, you know.
Right.
Okay, I need to get outside, you know, where I used to, you know, I used to fight to the death to be right. I mean, that was.
Right, or you know, maybe the drama was like, you know.
It was feeding me. That's true.
Right, but what I love is now you're really going more for the innate wisdom. As opposed to that,
right.
Or,
right.
You know, that drama cycle or that drama circle or that, you know.
Well, and also I'm not trying to convince people so much that they have to believe what I believe. That is a major, which, I mean, I'm really seeing how much I could tell on some level, and I didn't know this at the time, but on some level I needed other people to believe what I believed in order to make it real for me. Like, I couldn't make it real for myself. And I'm definitely, from a tracking point of view, not in that space. I know I'm not in that space.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know what I'm experiencing now, and I'm quite confident. And, you know, every day something shows up to bring me the confidence to let me know, again, which one of my major fear was that I was going to be misguided, and my major excitement is that I'm going to birth myself into a new state of beingness, you know, homo luminous, from homo sapien to homo luminous. And those are, you know, like, if I had to categorize, you know, my hopes and my fears, there they are.
Yeah.
And they're blending. It's so funny because that which scared me is building me into the confidence to know that my dreams are coming true. You know, and it's
great.
Like, yeah, and it seems to be that way for everybody. You know what? I've got to go to the bathroom. I thought I could hold it. I can't hold it. Can you My body water is all.
Can you play a song or no?
I could. Would you like me to do that? All
right.
That'd
be nice.
She's so cute. Okay.
I'll take a break too.
Okay. Let's lighten it up. Oh, okay. This one is for Janine.
All right.
Okay. Wait. Or should I? Oh, okay. Wait. What do we want? Tell me. I gotta go back. Okay, this one's for everybody. I'm going to play the one for you, but I want to surprise you on that one.
All right. Okay.
Okay, this is where me and Janine are talking about. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Ava Cassidy.
Wow.
I know, that was a really good song.
Wow, and you know, I mean, so much, but first of all, that was just beautiful talent, you know, just talk about intention.
Definitely.
I mean, she obviously is just singing with her gift, and it also brought up that you and I wanted to remind everybody that November is Discover, Find Your Genius.
That's right. Good call.
Month,
I forgot about that. Yes.
Month, because clearly she's got it, her genius going. right. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, she's actually on the
up.
Other side. She's not on this side anymore.
Oh.
Yeah,
really?
So she won't sue us.
Oh, where'd she go? I mean, when did that happen?
I don't know, but I know they played that song. The first time I heard that song was on a Crimson Circle shout, and I was in Buffalo, New York at the time when I heard it, and they had said she had passed away when they played it, so she's been gone since at least 2004.
Oh, okay.
But she clearly was gifted. I mean,
Well, that was a nice break.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. My eyes were rolling behind my head. I really tried, and I went, no, I need to go. But it did, you know, clear me out a little. What I want to talk about, one other thing I want to talk about is the, because I this is kind of like the show where, on some level, I'd like to reveal things, you know, that everybody already knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, take a different look at it. Because another thing that really struck a chord with me with Peggy Kane's work was when she said that the reptilians had created, how did she put it, a special task force that was surrounding the events of near-death experiences.
All right.
And basically what she said was that this whole idea of, quote-unquote, when we die, when we go towards the light is essentially a trap. It is a trap that recycles you not from an organic point of view, but from a manipulated point of view. Because we're not just manipulated. Remember, these beings are multidimensional beings, and they're conscious of their multidimensionalness. So they can manipulate us on this side, and they can also manipulate us with, on some level, with our permission when we die. And this conversation came up because me and Janine were talking about the void and how the void is inherently dark, silent, and kind of vast. You know, and then, you know, when I saw this work with Peggy Kane, I go, of course, wouldn't it just be in an upside down, inside out, up backwards world that when we die, we're all looking for that light and, you know, the propagation of it between Ghost Whisperer, huge propagation of it through that TV show. And you know, just basically all the books that were written by the people who said go towards the light, that's all manipulation. And, you know, so I just wanted it to be, you know, I wanted to have a chance that for the audience to hear that because I believe that whatever, you know, we can learn now at this point of our journey so that we're prepared. See, this is what I call preparation. So now we can be prepared that, you know, I would investigate it definitely, you know, because if you're going, no, I believe the light is where I should be. Okay, well, investigate it then. At the very least, check out Peggy Kane, who, her work is very, what's the word? I liked her work because she was very neutral in it, in that, you know, she takes EMPs and she reverses them, and she said because she finds the truth when she reverses what people say.
Mm.
And that made sense to me because it was like, she goes, they can manipulate consciousness, but that's the subconscious. When you reverse people's words, That's the subconscious talking. And I'll be honest with you, she's no longer out and about, because I was going to invite her on the show and reverse my words.
Wow.
I very much, and if anybody has the technology to reverse words and play them back, I would absolutely, I'm open to having my words be reversed, because basically the way she said it was, it will she's reversed politicians that go, you know, we're not terrorists. And then when she reverses it, she's like, you know, dumb fools, we are the terrorists. You know, the truth comes out in the reversal. And I know George Kavassalis had his words reversed. There's a video on somebody taping him and then playing the reversal. And, you know, he came up as being genuine. What he says and forward is what his intentions are, was revealed in his reversal.
Mm.
So
what does EMT mean?
EVP, sorry, EVP
oh.
is... sorry, EMP is Goldie being a knucklehead. EVP
is
electronic voice phenomena.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which means she gets spiritual voices. The EVPs she reversed EVPs, but she also reversed basically just people talking, like politicians, metaphysicians. You know, she herself. Which when I heard that, it was like, right on, you know. And
yeah.
Because it just appeared to me to be a way of, she had tapped into a way to find the truth that had not been corrupted yet. And that's how it felt to me. And I have set myself up to tune into those types of truths being revealed, you know, because this is what I mean by there's lots of truth coming out now, you know, but we got to be tuned into the truth, kind of like a tuning fork, so we're going to resonate with it. And so I was tuned into it and really wanted to share that, you know, like I said, that it was a whole, you know, they had set up an entire task force, the reptilians, to propagate the idea that when we die, go towards the light. I mean, I could tell you, you know, I was heading towards the light.
Well, sure, and you know, it also sounds kind of like, oh, okay, that sounds good. It's not so bad after all. You know, it's like the whole, like, let's sell death kind of thing, you know. Which reminds me of, like, what you were saying before, you know, the celebrity thing or the fame thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, then there's the void that's just not selling anything. You know, it just is, and it's...
Well,
it's
that's it. There you
yeah,
go. Right.
Yeah, and
it's
just a, you know,
it's just an organic space that's truth. It's
right.
Where your soul
and,
will meet you.
right. And, you know, and the thing, you know, George presented this, and not that I hadn't heard it over the years, but all of a sudden, listening to him, maybe the second time, when he said... consider that you're an infinite, you know, you're just infinite, you're infinite consciousness, you know, and an infinite being and an infinite universe. And, you know, I decided I'm going to consider that, you know, and it really does put you much more in the space of the void rather than the go to the white light tunnel and, you know, everybody's
right.
waiting for you. And
right.
it just, there's something, I mean, you can only kind of experience it, but I'm trying to explain it where, you know, there is a difference between the two. I mean, literally sensory, it just feels different, you know? And
yeah,
absolutely. You start to, and what ends up happening, I think, is that, As Goldie was saying before, which I thought was so extraordinary, how what she feared and what she hoped for are kind of blending together, because they there's no longer this division and this. I feel that when you contemplate or when you start to sense or the void-like timeline, that the world takes on a different feeling. There is this trust, and you notice how
the synchronicities in the world and the people show up in your life. And I think it's just a natural state of that timeline, you know, and once again, and you know, you can't fake it. You just can't.
Well, you
and,
can spot a fake a mile away, too.
Right, right.
Some people are trying to fake it. Sorry. But you can't fake it.
You can try to fake it, and yeah, and you'll probably be spotted. But the thing is, you can't fake it. I mean, you can try,
right.
But you can't.
No, right
so,
on. Right
so
on.
It's an organic process, you know, where... You know, you go and you get undone.
How do you get things done? You get undone.
Exactly.
Well, and it's so funny because you would think to yourself, it's going to be so hard. Like, you know, I had a friend of mine say her belief is that you can't become enlightened in this lifetime. You can only become enlightened in death. You can't become enlightened when you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. I said, I couldn't be further from that truth. I was like, I can become enlightened. And she goes, no, but there's always something more to learn. And I was like, well, but enlightenment isn't that you know everything about, that there's potential to know.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I don't have to know cars and airplanes and computers. And, you know, there's lots of stuff I don't know. I was like, enlightenment is the integration of all pieces back into self. That's
right.
Enlightenment. And every time one of those pieces gets integrated, it is, like we talked about earlier in the week, a moment. And I'll tell you, these moments are out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So they can last as however long they last, but it is an absolute knowingness. Throughout you really are one with everything. You know it. It's you yearn for nothing, you question for nothing, you're not impatient or patient. You're really very is. Your isness is up.
Yeah.
You're in the
yeah.
void, so to speak. Whatever it is, it's an enlightened moment. I mean, she's very much in her mental processing. Because she's like, no, as long as you can learn. She couldn't get that if you know, it's not about learning.
Well,
she associates enlightenment with
learning. I would say that that falls into the same category as a hesitancy to say that you know something. Like, you know, for her, she's met that place where she's afraid of her own power. She's
definitely
not. She's not willing to say I know, because that is a powerful statement, but it's also a natural statement to know something. I loved when they asked Carl Jung when he was like 86 and he was being interviewed, and it's on the YouTube, you know, that they said, well, do you believe? And he goes, I really don't believe I know. And
right.
and it was just, and he did. And
yeah.
You know, and that isn't that. So when I think that's another place to challenge oneself to dare to say, you know, because because people do know a lot more than they think they know, and
definitely
right. And
definitely.
I think that's one of the things where you and I, you know, when we engaged in talking, and you know, we would really have fun there, like going to those places and stretching ourselves, and you know,
yeah.
It was almost right, and we got
totally.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, that's something, again, it's another challenge where instead of being afraid of it, it's fun. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's interesting how people associate, you know, enlightenment / God and all that with the whole omnipotence thing, like all-knowing.
Mm.
You know, because all-knowing is, that's a deceptive, you know, and I say it because all-knowing is, in my humble opinion, is knowing what you need to know when you need to know it. As
that's
opposed
very
to
good.
All-knowing,
that's
cause,
very
you
good.
Know, like, Yeah, because people, they don't know. It's like when they try and when they decipher Bibles and Korans and Bhagavad Gita's, and I didn't mean any disrespect. I don't know how to pronounce that one. You know, this it's all about the interpretation. But what's interesting is enlightenment from the experiential point of view is simply sitting still, you know, knowing in that moment you're an amazing being with, you know, full potential that's spinning and creating and gurgitating and grinding and, you know, whatevering and and you're okay in that moment with everything that is in your reference field of reference because you created it. You know, like, it seems so simple. You know, it's not, you know, it's not, you know, because, again, I think people affiliate it, like, because I also think a lot of people affiliate enlightenment with omnipotence and also all healing. Like,
right.
If I was enlightened, I could touch you and you would heal. But I'll tell you, as you learn the way of the soul, you get that. You know, one of the things I said to a friend of mine, you can't give anybody freedom and you can't give anybody sovereignty. Everyone has to come into that knowing from within themselves. And once you come into that knowing, nothing can take it from you. And I'm not saying your body can be imprisoned, but not yourself.
Yeah.
Not, you know, watch Shawshank Redemption when he was in the hole for 60 days and he came out and he was smiling. I mean, he was definitely a little beat up from, you know, he didn't have food or water or whatever or light. But he was like, I was in there listening to my records because they can't take that from me. I mean, one thing I notice about being alone is you experience yourself. People that are afraid to feel are more than likely afraid to be alone. And you're afraid to be alone because you're basically experiencing yourself. And that's another big belief. If you can get beyond that, where, again, make yourself your best friend, the journey really gets going when you want to be with yourself. And you start, you know, finding yourself in portals and whirlpools or in the middle of, you know, forests or, you know, you know, someplace organic, because it's such an organic experience to find the genuine self, not the artificial. The artificial self cares how much you weigh, what you look like, and all that good shit.
Right.
The genuine self, I mean, because it's so funny. I've noticed something that's kind of profound. I'm not looking at mirrors as much anymore. Because the truth is, when I look, I'm like, oh, okay, let's just step back from. I mean, I admit, I look very different than when what I look like used to care. When I used to care what I look like, I cared what I. And now I don't care what I look like. And I won't say not completely. I did get my hair done before, you know, coming to your New York thing. And I'm going to probably, you know, do my nails because I want to. I'm okay playing in these arenas. But the truth is 99% of the time, I mean, and the thing is, I'm not afraid I don't look good. When I'm in the presence of other people and there's no mirrors around, I'm probably more confident than like Cindy Crawford, you know, meaning,
yeah,
because that was the thing I had the experience when I went to the student hairdressing school to get the cheaper. I tried to save money, and so I went to a student hairdressing school where they did my color, and I was telling Janine that I had a horrible experience because I was like in this matrix of everybody that cared what they looked like, and they were very young. There was no dialogue between me and the woman doing my hair, and I use the term woman loosely. She was really a young lady. She was probably early 20s, you know, and I was just like, for the extra 10, 20 bucks, whatever it was I saved, I could have been at my hairdresser having a wonderful conversation about spirituality. And it ended up, I only got my hair colored that day. Later on the day, I went, and Oh, and this is a good segue. I got my hair done by my hairdresser. We had an amazing conversation, and this was actually the day I had found out about Peggy Kane stuff. So I had shared with her about, you know, the light being a false light and all that. And she had said to me, her mother had passed on, and their family is gypsies. So that she,
right.
And this is, she's just starting to open up to me. But she said that she had a conversation with her mother. I don't know if it was in a dream, but it was in some sort of state of consciousness. It was a year after her mother died, and her mother said that she was in a dark space. You know, it was a void. And she said that when I told her that, she didn't feel, she was like, wow, that's good. And I was like, that is good. And I told her, I go, even though the message got to you a year later, I go, in the no time zone, which is post-death, message could have came immediately after. I go, she hasn't necessarily, quote-unquote, been there a year. Time and no time do not, you can't correlate them because they're not correlatable. They're just not. I said,
no, and the time is man-made.
Time is man-made on this side.
Right, yeah.
And her mother was saying, did she sound like she was scared? And she goes, no. She just was telling us that she, you know, was in a dark space, and we got scared. And I was like, no, sounds like she's right where she's supposed to be. And you could just tell, it was just one of those, I had spent the morning with these kind of crazy people. Well, not crazy, just young people very much hooked into a matrix of beauty, which I don't resonate with anymore. Ended up going to my girl, getting my haircut from my girl, which she did a great job, and then having this incredibly synchronistic conversation, which it came more poignant of the whole experience and, you know, going, okay, from now on, you know, I won't stray anymore. I only come to you for color, for cut, for all of it, you know. It was just, a lesson in joy, once again, another lesson in joy. You know,
and also,
and
a confirmation for me, because I was thinking about the whole void thing as compared to the whole light, go to the light, go, you know, and then you told me that, and I was like, oh, there it is again, the void.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that was synchronicity, because I've been thinking about that since last Wednesday, you know.
Yeah, because it's pretty significant, right? I mean, these are what I would call the major conditions of the manipulation, you know. And
also, you had reminded me, and even last Wednesday on the show, but then reminding me now of the time of year, because it ended up being Halloween, and
right.
The veil was thin now, and you know,
right?
Yeah, so that seemed really,
oh no, it just ended yesterday.
Yeah,
when,
it seemed prevalent. But you know,
absolutely, this year more than ga everybody was. I mean, Scott's mom was talking to her dead husband. Little Allie Oopie is, you know, having total awarenesses with Mother Nature. The experience at the hairdresser, your experiences. I mean, it was like it's almost like for the last 4 days, yesterday going back to the Halloween, that was almost like that's a preview of the type of frequencies we're. You know, we're there, but that's where this conscious and linear experience is leading to.
Exactly. And you feel it.
So track your last 4 days, and then you'll know. And just so everybody knows, this audio was made November 5th, 2012. So,
right.
You know,
and I'm
in
the dark
here
with the fire and... and no wires outside. We like that.
Yeah, no, you're fantastic, Janine. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I love you, girl. You're such a trooper.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I could, you know, I was charging my phone up in the car so I could be here.
You rock.
I wanted
you rock.
To be here. Thanks.
Yeah, we love you. The hands down, Golden Hawk no longer does that. The show is me and Janine. There's no co-hosting. We both host this show. You're amazing. Your shares are very valuable, and I enjoy them thoroughly, thoroughly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then I could tell you've been in the portals.
I have indeed. God bless. I'm all like, see, I mean, you guys get to hear me as the schizophrenic and then Janine
they're
with her
totally
sound
great.
Advice. Thank
no,
you.
No, trust me. You are stretching the awareness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, stretch everybody. Tell them where they can find you in the book and all your wonderful artwork. Yeah.
Well, I'll be in New York City this Saturday at a book signing. So that's Bank Street Books at 3:00 on Saturday.
Okay, and what time are you getting there? Are you getting there early?
Yeah, I'll definitely should get there earlier because,
right. Okay.
You know, who knows? Just maybe I'll get there at like 2:30.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking mean a lot of, because we could help if you needed help.
Oh,
you'd have,
thanks. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
two hands to do whatever, or four hands, you know, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
That would be fun.
Okay, right on.
And, oh, so the book is The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, and I have a website, jlkimmel.com. KIMMEL.com, and I'm on Facebook. I'm friends with Golden Hawk, so if you go on there, I think it's Janine L. Kimmel, but I always say it's easy to find me on Golden Hawk's page. And
right on.
Yeah. So thanks, Goldie.
You're my pleasure. AnotherRealityShow.com is where you can find us in all our archives. And all that good stuff. And I think what we're going to do, too, is we're going to put Janine's we're going to put a link to buy Janine's book right on the front page of the Blog Talk Radio page. Because in all honesty, they can find me on Facebook. But if they allow us to put, you know, I want the link to your book. So people can go right to the page and go to Amazon and buy the book. So
great. Okay.
I'll make that happen.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then we can talk about it with everybody.
We will be talking about the book. Me and Janine have been talking so much about the book. Janine's going to be going. We're not going to have Janine one Monday night in December,
yeah,
correct?
I'll be in Ireland. Yeah.
Right. So when she gets back from Ireland, which is truly the birthing place of Sean, as well as the you know. And the celebration will happen, and it'll start off in Ireland, but she actually gets back on a Monday, right?
Right, Monday morning, so then we'll talk that night.
Right, and as Janine put it, she'll still have green, you know, in her from the Irish.
I'll have Irish on
me. She'll have the Irish on her, and that night we will talk about, you know, Sean, my favorite rabbit thief.
I think that's December 17th.
December 17th. Okay,
yeah.
So mark your calendars.
Yeah.
That'll be a great show. And what I'm going to probably do is the week she's gone, I'm hoping to either have Alana do a show with me, or me and Janine will do a pre-tape, and we'll just let the pre-tape run. We just have to see how that all works out. So
okay,
there's no planning at this point. I've learned.
All right.
Thank you for being here, Janine. Thank you to all the
You're
listeners.
Welcome.
The audience is clearly growing. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Yeah, everybody have an amazing week. Catch me on Facebook. Throw me an email. Let us know what you think about the show, because I love hearing from you and hearing how the show, you know, is working through your life. So definitely share. Okay. Well, I will talk to you soon, and thank you for being here.
All right, everybody. Good night.
All right. Good night, babe. Good night.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.